Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had Mastermind today. Andy went for an old school footballing subject. We had a bit of a chat. You got involved.
Yeah.
We had a chap with Russell Watson from the world of music, big Man United fan. He had a great honour this week. He told us about that. That should do you, I think.
That's it, I think.
Here it is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Andy.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Paul. And as I left here the other night,
yes.
I got on, who should I get in the lift with but Martin Kemp?
Old Martin was in,
Kemp, yeah, he was being interviewed by somebody, and it was quite a sort of long period where I just looked at him, he looked at me, and in the end I just said to him, I really like your menswear range. And he said to me, oh, thanks very much, mate, you know, it's really nice.
He didn't remember meeting you, though. You should have said who you were, he listens to the show.
I know, he didn't seem to...
We got his lad on tomorrow, Roman's on tomorrow.
Oh, good, I quite like that. It's just been renewed,
finished line. I don't remember when he came in, he just needed a bit of a reminder.
Yeah, I thought I could have.
He meets a lot of people.
Yeah, he does.
You less so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with, you know,
well,
a fact,
I didn't really want to, you know, that's true, really.
It's a fact.
And then somebody sent me the other night an interesting thing. I'd never realised this. There's a bloke I sent you the link, in Kansas City called Dr. Andrew Jacobs, sports psychologist.
I can't think of anybody worse.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's been on for 31 years.
Wow, okay.
So he's been on even longer than I have.
That's impressive.
I know, wow. I thought that was quite impressive as well. I've got some news of IFAB for you.
Oh, yes, these are the people that make all the decisions in the world of refereeing, and what a fine job they're doing at the
tremendous,
moment.
Tremendous, well done, everybody.
Yeah.
Lucas Brutt, the chief executive of IFAB, told the Times yesterday, we've identified participant misbehaviour as a major problem for football, and it will be the main topic for IFAB in the coming year, in the upcoming year. You think, oh, yeah, it's much worse than the handball rule that nobody understands and a pathetically fiddly offside rule that doesn't work at all, not fit for purpose. Yeah. Oh, yeah, worry about participation behaviour.
Yes, well, they are. They're talking about sin bins for dissent.
Yeah, all right.
And captains being the only ones that can speak to the referee.
If you got the laws right in the first place, there wouldn't be so much dissent, would there?
No. I mean, we saw a bit of that last night. I talked to Dale Johnson about this. Michael Oliver calls over Christian Romero and calls over Sonny to explain what's going on, calls the captain over to explain exactly what's going on in the calls, and that's the way it should be, really.
I think it should. But Michael Owen's not very happy. We'll talk about this. He's not very happy the criticism he's had, you know, about not pushing Howard as far as he could.
We'll talk to Dale about that, because I still think there was questions I had, certainly about the Newcastle-Arsenal review last night in the mic'd up programme that Michael Owen and Howard Webb did. But anyway, we'll get Dale's take on that. When you've gone to Buenos Aires, Andy, the Argentinian people...
Oh, yes.
Are they good queuers? Are they good queuers?
Not at all.
I remember
my friend coming over here and going to a concert with Sue to the O2.
Yeah.
And she couldn't believe how everybody was so patient and queued in line.
He couldn't believe that.
She was a woman. She couldn't believe how British people would queue in a sort of orderly way. So I don't think that's the thing there. Why do you ask? I asked
the question because the good people at Twickets sent out a little post earlier on today, say 240 Taylor Swift fans in Buenos Aires, Argentina, have been camping outside the stadium for over 5 months.
Really?
Camping for 5 months for tickets to see Taylor Swift.
Really?
5 months.
God, I don't think I'd do 5 minutes, to be really
honest.
They
do ask the question, what's the longest you've ever queued for a gig?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, the longest I ever queued for tickets for a football match was the 1981 Cup final. We came back from the final and then went straight to the lane and sort of slept outside overnight.
It used to be the way. I remember the semi-final against Luton in 94. Then we had to queue, and I think it was about 3 o'clock in the morning by the time we got the tickets. It was ridiculous.
Well, they opened the ticket office at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because it was still going on.
Oh,
it was taking so long to process everybody, so I don't think they wanted to close it.
Well, you know, remember the old heady days of queuing for tickets? So if you want to tell us some of your stories, share them with the class. We'd love to hear them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We often talk about where people go on tour. They go and watch football. And I'm speaking for a lot of the TalkSport heartland here. Mm. When they go on holiday, whether they go on holiday to watch sport or not, I think the conversation sometimes does go a little bit like this. Did you have a good time in Macedonia? Did you? Yeah, it was really good. Really good. And there's a silence. And then somebody will say, pound a pint.
Yeah,
and that's true. Oh, blimey, really? Oh, we must start. Never mind. Oh, the architecture's fantastic. Oh, the food was. Pound
true.
A pint will pique someone's interest, and they'll say, "I was talking to Fred the other day, and he said North Macedonia is very nice, but leaving out the pounder, we should go there." Well, Charlie White in the Sunday points this out. What about this? England are going to take 2,300 supporters to North Macedonia for the game on Monday. Tickets are £9.50.
Very reasonable.
£9.50 is plenty. Doesn't actually rhyme, but I think we'd all agree, wouldn't we?
That's about right.
And when they get to Skopje, I remember we used to do 175, 175. So pizza, three beers and a pizza. How much?
175.
No, not 175 at
all. £4.75.
Not £4.75. No, have another go.
£5.80.
No, that's a bit cheap, isn't it? You wouldn't find that anywhere in the world. A tenner. Three beers and a pizza for a tenner.
Oh, three beers and a
pizza. Yeah, three beers and a pizza for a tenner. So
that's very reasonable.
Enjoy, everybody, in North Macedonia. You can eat and drink yourself into unconscious. Well, don't do that. Please drink responsibly, of course. But
not like us.
Did you also see on our own website today that Francis Ngannou is now officially in the top 10 in the WBC's heavyweight ranking?
Well, I have to say deservedly after that performance, isn't
it? I mean, when we were talking to Johnny Nelson about it the other day, you don't feel nobody's going to get caught cold in quite the same way that Tyson did, because you'd know what was coming.
Mm.
But that does mean, according to the TalkSport website, that any WBC world title would be on the line if they had a rematch, him and Fury. So there's no way it wouldn't.
Really?
I think you'd maybe...
I don't think Fury should have a rematch with him.
Slightly more prep, maybe. Although we are told he put all the prep in and just got slightly caught out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Eddie the Eagle is in Dancing on Ice.
Yeah,
Eddie
we spoke to him on the show.
Yeah. But honestly, looking at the pictures, you wouldn't know it's him. You wouldn't know it was actually him. I had to draw Eddie's old jaw and his glasses, and then you can see what
he looks so different. He's delighted with that. Yeah,
I know.
An odd way to read a paper, isn't it, when people look different, to draw what they used to look like.
I was thinking, what's happened here? Then I'd sort of give it a bit of a drawing, and it was fine. Got a lovely tabloid thesaurus for you. Sure you picked it up as well. Crisp fan Hunter McEwen was gobsmacked when he pulled out a world record hula hoop. I knew he's a Crisp fan. Nobody. The three-year-old's fabulous find in a pack of barbecue beef-flavoured hula hoops measured 6 inches, more than 10 times the length of the regular ring-sized treats.
Yes, ring-sized treats, yeah.
And his dad said, "I was in shock." I doubt it.
I was in shock.
James, the dad, said, "He's still awestruck by the half-foot, meat-flavoured, cylindrical whopper."
Did his dad really say that?
Apparently.
Because if he did, I'd be in shock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, Mastermind, Andy, you're slightly obsessed with Mastermind, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
You watch it every week, and what you really love is the quite convoluted explanations of the specialist subjects that Clive Myrie, Manchester City's point Clive Myrie, gives us every week.
Yeah.
So what did he do this week? I don't watch it now because I know I'm going to find out what went on from you. So what did Clive do this week?
They've got a funny thing there as well at the end of this is very much in the modern trend. Whoever wins that particular heat or semi-final is interviewed afterwards, and they do a sort of like, "Well, I couldn't believe it when
they get
Clive
interviewed
said
afterwards,
this to me." And we think,
I'd like to have a bit more trash talking. I knew I'd win. They were all rubbish. Yeah, they knew nothing. That's what Charlie would be like he's at the end of the birthday spread if you ever did a celebrity one.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first specialist subject is Peter the Great of Russia.
Yes.
Yes, Peter the Great, the Russian Tsar and Emperor. That would have done it, Clive. We didn't need anything more than that.
Yeah.
Who ruled from 1682 to 1725. Yes, and is credited as the founder of modern Russia. Thank you. Not Peter the Plumber of Little Hampton.
No, possibly not, no.
Exmoor National Park.
Okay, yeah, specialist subject, yeah.
Yes, the area of West Somerset and North Devon, desiccated Lynham.
Yeah, that's his full name, funny enough. Everybody thought it was Desmond. Yeah.
Designated.
Yeah.
As a national park in 1954.
Yeah.
Not Exmoor Plumbers, then, of 62 Doniford Road, Watchit. That's
no,
the name of the place.
Not that one.
No.
Finally.
The films of Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah.
The feature films of the American director noted for graphic violence, witty dialogue and pop culture references, and not Tarantino Plumbing of 134 Paul Drive, San Rafael, California.
You found Tarantino Plumbing?
I did.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Excellent.
So, Andy, you always do a specialist subject. And they've been getting more and more obscure. But this one goes right back where we want it to go. This is in the world of football. Mm. And it's questions around the 1966 World Cup. World Cup, which was played at Wembley, the final, of course, between England and West Germany.
Yeah, which
resulting in a 4-2 win for England.
Yeah, exactly.
After extra time. Okay? Are you
very
ready?
Good, yeah, I'm ready.
Your question, play along at home, folks, if you know about the 66 World Cup. Is it just the final or
just the final?
Final,
yes. Okay,
specific. Your specialty subject is 120 minutes of football.
That's fair enough.
Okay, your time
a lot
starts
of history in it.
Now. Yeah. On what date was the game played?
July the 30th.
Correct. Who was the manager of West Germany?
Helmut Schön.
Correct. What was the name of the referee?
Tofik Bakramov.
No, that was linesman. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Gottfried Dienst was the referee. Can you name the infamous Soviet linesman who ruled Jeff Hurst's shot across the line?
Tofik Bakramov. Known as Tofik Crisp in the dressing
That's
room.
That's right. Who scored the opening goal for West Germany in the 11th minute?
Now, Wolfgang Weber got the...
He didn't ask that.
No, I'm trying to get my head.
Okay, well, you see, clock. Okay, pass. How many substitutions were made during the game?
None. They didn't have substitutes.
Correct. Who equalised for West Germany in the dying seconds of normal time to make the score 2-2?
Wolfgang Weber.
Correct. Which England player gave away the free kick which led to that equaliser?
Oh, Nobby Stars?
That was Big Jack.
Oh, Big Jack.
One of the enduring images of the celebration sees England captain Bobby Moore holding the Jurime trophy aloft. On whose shoulders? The two players whose shoulders he's on. They're surrounded by all of them. That's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
Was one of them Jack Charlton?
It wasn't, because he would have been a bit lopsided. He would have probably fallen over, Bob, wouldn't he, at that
Jack
point?
Jack Charlton and Nobby Stars.
Who are the players of a sort of fairly equal height? No? Give up?
Roger Hunt and Jeff Hurst.
No. Jeff Hurst, right? You're not on half a point. Ray Wilson was the other one.
Oh, OK.
And finally... I've started, so I've finished. Well, actually, I hadn't, but... The radio can see. Was Jeff Hurst's goal to make the score 3-2 over the line or not?
Well, a lot of people think it wasn't.
It's a yes or no answer.
Yes.
Well, there we are. Correct. Whatever the Germans say. You passed on one.
Very good question.
Who scored the opening goal for West Germany in the 11th minute? Helmut Haller. Yeah, so there we are. Pretty good going. There were 1, 2, 3, 6. 6 out of 10. So there, at least it had sport.
Yeah.
So there we are. More Mastermind next week.
Maybe.
We're running out of things he knows anything about. Yeah, that's it. Maybe. Well, if you're getting bored with it, what chance
the
listeners
that's
got?
The thing. I might do one more next year. I didn't realize it was going to be such a long series. Last time when I did it, I think I must have come in halfway through the series.
Yeah.
We haven't even reached the semi-finals. I'm thinking, for goodness sake, this joke's wearing thin.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, we go from Team GB's canoe slalom team to comedian, poet, Leeds United fan, Rob Orton. Always good to see Rob. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Not bad. I just think we should go a bit more one show at times and
get everybody in at
get
once.
Get you on, get Des on, get Bruce Jones on, get the canoe slalom team, then ask you questions about nesting bats and what we should do about
chaos
them. But yeah, I just think maybe we're not really cut out for that. We're not good enough, really.
I'd say more bats, please.
More bats.
I like bats.
You're a big fan of the bat?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult. Yeah, I mean, they're an intriguing... yeah. I mean, my... being intrigued, going on holiday to Spain when I was a kid and seeing them for the first time. I lived in a city. I rarely saw bats. Mm. Went to Spain on holiday. Now, they were flying. It was a bit of a shocker, really. I'd never seen them in the wild.
No, unbelievable. I just was... went to Australia and did the Melbourne Comedy Festival for the first time. Yeah. And just past the town hall, there was a huge fruit bat flying down the
they
street.
Big,
it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, not much sport.
There's not a great deal of sport. Well, you are listening to bats. Talk sport. It's funny, Jeremy was just reading the news, and just as he finished, you're quite intrigued with the world of the news, really, yeah?
Absolutely. I was sitting there, and just like people who can turn the focus on very quickly and just get through their words quite quickly without messing up at all is just very impressive to me. And being around people who are doing that is, it's...
You're safe with us, though.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to be word perfect. Occasionally they slip up, otherwise we wouldn't have our section, the clips every Friday, which would do for us. So, you've been in over the years to tell us about your different shows, and they've always had a theme, haven't they? I mean, tell us about the titles of some of your other shows.
Well, the first show I did in 2012 was all about the colour yellow, called The Yellow Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was an hour, and it was about yellow, and it was a test. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I went back up to the Edinburgh Festival, did a show all about the sky.
Right.
Basically, I put a word in the middle of a spider diagram and just try and go off on one about that subject. So I've done the colour yellow, the sky, faces, water, you know. What is water? Water is the smell of a pint of orange cordial before you've added the cordial, that kind of thing. sleeping, I like sleeping. And then hair, talking, time, crowds. And then this one is all about me. It's called The Rob Orton Show.
These all sound like categories in The Wheel with Michael McIntyre at the moment.
They do,
So, but this one's you. This one is you are the subject this time, Rob Orton.
Yeah, I thought I'd do a bit of a deep dive into my past, really. And it was really interesting for me, actually, because I don't know about you, but I've had quite a few things kicking around in my head that are just memories that come in every now and again. And I never really vocalise them.
Hmm.
They're just there. And...
did you have to stand them up? Because I've got these vague memories, and occasionally I might say to my mum, that happened. She's saying, no, that's wrong. It was, you know, because you have a kind of certain memory of things. They're not always right, are they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's one that's in the show that was quite big that I won't talk about now, but with my parents, and I said to them, did that happen? And they said, no, we can't remember it. And it's like a huge memory
for
me.
Yeah.
So it just makes me think about all these things that rattle around our heads all the time. Like, and the fact that we as humans only lock certain stuff in, and like you might be with your mates and think about all the think that you've all got the same memories of the same, but obviously everyone's got completely different memories of different nights out.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you feel
yeah.
like saying to your friends, what memories have you got of me? You know, when you know, what is there any memories of me that, and I'd like them to ask me as well, of thinking like, oh yeah, so do you remember that time? And then I'm like, no, I don't, you know.
But you've still managed to get a show out of it. You've been okay.
Absolutely,
you've remembered, and they've remembered enough for an hour.
Yeah, So it's been good, and I did loads of work in progress shows of it up and down the country, and they are a real test. I mean, I love doing the work in progress shows because you're finding out in real time whether what you think is funny is also funny to anyone else.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes
it differs from night to night, venue to venue.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, and you need a bit of luck with when you're saying something that you think's funny for the first time. Like if someone knocks a glass over when you're mid-sentence, then you might have some absolute gold.
Yeah.
And it just never sees the light of day again because you're like, oh, they didn't enjoy that. But there might be other things that are going on in the room, or, you know.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
Just in a moment. I mean, do you improvise much, Rob?
I definitely try to. I think that the most alive moments in stand-up shows often come from things that have just happened in the room.
Mm.
And often you can get quite intense injections of energy from something random happening, or basically you flexing your quick muscles.
Yeah,
oh, right, he's actually... he isn't as bumbling as he's coming across. He's actually got a tiny amount of brain on him, you know, and it's so that was really good. And then you try to build on the show as you the more you do it, and then doing it at the Edinburgh Festival for 27 days in a row or whatever it was,
you've honed it.
You got it honed, and then and then in Edinburgh, the kind of comedic boot camp that it is, you go, and then you can play with the volume of your voice, your speed of the voice, and everything like that, and then you can kind of predict what's going to happen. But even your most locked in jokes of like, oh, this is it, if you present it and deliver it with too much confidence and you're like, oh, this is funny, it's like when you say to your mates, if you go, oh, I've got a really funny joke for you, they're like, okay, I'll be the judge of that. Instead of where if you just kind of say it in a bit of a downbeat way, they're more likely to kind of come to you and go, oh no, that was funny actually.
So as
long as they don't try to spell it out too much, then often the audience does kind of come. And because I've been doing it, comes to me because I've been doing it quite a bit, like people,
they're on your side, aren't they? I mean, they're coming to see, they want to be entertained by you, so they're unlikely to sort of start heckling or telling you it's not funny.
Well, it's that sense of humour thing of going, you've got to try to find out your own sense of humour and commit to your own sense of humour enough. So some people will come and they'll be like, oh yeah, he's got a sense of humour that I like, and that's what we're kind of buying into, isn't
it? Sure,
so it's important. I mean, for me, stand-up is more like me sharing what I think is funny to see if anyone else finds it funny as well, instead of me just trying to make people laugh.
So you start in January, you're doing a week at in London, and then you set off, don't you? January the 22nd, and then you are right around the country, right through until May.
Yeah. On the trains.
On the train, yeah. Is that so? Your trains as opposed to vans?
Absolutely.
You much prefer that?
I do, because I like working on trains, and I used to drive. I haven't driven since I moved to London, but the amount of time and driving's tiring.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's the best way to travel, I think.
I mean, I love it. I love it on the train, and I've had a lot of good ideas looking out of windows, and. I'm looking forward to getting on the road. It's seeing different parts of the country and, like...
You're going anywhere new this time, Rob? Because obviously you've toured a lot. So you're going anywhere you've not been before?
I think I'm going to Aberdeen.
Yes, let's have a look. Are you going to Aberdeen?
Is it Dundee?
You're going to Edinburgh, you're going to Aberdeen. You're going to the Lemon Tree in Aberdeen.
Yeah, never been.
Never been that far up.
No. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I'm going to a new venue in Belfast.
Yeah,
and probably one of the most rewarding things is going back to places and seeing a few more people there.
Yeah,
you know, I did the Trades Club at in Hebden Bridge for the first time last time.
Yeah,
and they said, "You come back again, and we'll show you. We'll bring some more people." You know, and I was like, "Okay, all right," because there were some people there who really enjoyed it, and it's like.
For
people to kind of take a punt, like there's a certain amount of people who go, "Yeah, I'm going to take a punt on that," but also when people say, "Oh, come to this," there's a lot of pressure on those people who are bringing their mates along, because
it's true.
When someone says,
"You're desperate for them to enjoy it," aren't
exactly,
you? That's right,
and that's one of the most difficult things to see.
You'll love this bloke, he's great.
You'll love him. Honestly.
It happened to me recently when I was, I can't remember where I was, but there was this couple who said to me, they said, we've brought our two mates along and we've told them that you're really good, you know. And the whole time they were looking across at their mates, I was like, no!
Because then you're looking at them, I would imagine, thinking, oh, they're laughing enough. You're from York originally, aren't you? Is that right?
Yeah, just outside York, yeah.
But a Leeds fan?
Yeah, a Leeds fan, mate. Mainly because of my dad, you know. He's a big Leeds fan and... It's they're doing well at the moment.
They are. It's all going sort of going in the right direction, and you know, less maybe having a bit of a stumble. I mean, look, they're still a long way ahead, and Ipswich going well. It's doable, isn't it? There's still plenty of time to make up that ground, I think, for an automatic place potentially.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the right direction is the Premier League. The right direction. Well, it is. Is it? It's better than the league. I guess it is. Yeah. It's just a completely different beast, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this the other day. We were sort of saying like that thing of losing constantly in the Premier League. You know, would you, if you're a Burnley fan at the moment, did you want this tilt of the Premier League? But you're getting gubbed, you know, you're getting beaten quite a lot. Or was it much more fun sort of, you know, riding roughshod over everybody in the Championship?
100 points in the Championship.
It's difficult, isn't it? But, I mean, you want that chance. That's the prize. You can't change it. You can't refuse to go up, can you?
Well, this is it. And I think it's quite a lot like going through the leagues of gigs as well. Like, do you want to do easy gigs?
I'm not
saying any gig's easy, but, you know, the more challenging the gig, the more you learn from it, I guess.
Want to play the bigger rooms.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I'm doing some slightly bigger rooms on this next tour. And I think just approaching it with the same ethos I've always have of, come on, just try and, you know, I like my stuff, and it's just like, let's try and deliver it to the best of my ability and just have a laugh. And just
it's very much a sports person's take on it. It's just you're going out there and you're giving 100%, aren't you, really?
Absolutely.
Not 110, not possible. But I do like the picture you've got on your website. It's basically you in a kid's park.
Hanging on for dear life on the... Nice.
And, Rob, lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming in. All the details are on roborton.co.uk. All the tour dates are there. And he not only puts praise on his website, but some criticism as well, which I think is quite bold.
Yeah.
There's more praise than criticism, though, I would imagine.
Absolutely. There's one on there, I think, just sad, Vanessa Feltz.
Oh, dear. Well, she'll be here in a minute. You can have a word.
take it. Oi, show it to her on the website.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Our next guest has been on the show before. We're very pleased to say he has sold, I think, 7 million albums over the years. Wow. He's performed to the world's great and good. He's just about gone on tour, playing in some beautiful buildings. He'll tell us about that. He's Manchester United supporting singer Russell Watson. Good afternoon, Russell.
Hello there. How are you, gents?
Yeah, we're good, thanks, Russell. Not too bad, thank you. As I said, you've done some huge gigs over the years, some pretty important concerts. But as a big Manchester United fan, what a great honour it was for you earlier this week to perform at Sir Bobby Charlton's funeral.
Yeah, I'd had the pleasure of meeting Bobby on a few occasions, and aside from being obviously one of the greatest footballers that's ever lived, and probably the greatest ambassador that Manchester United have ever had, he was a wonderful man as well, very generous with his time, and I know, very charitable man as well. I remember, it's funny because I remember as a kid listening to my dad, and in particular my granddad, telling me stories about Bestie and Charlton. And what fantastic footballers. And one thing that stays in my mind is my granddad saying that when Bobby Charlton hit a ball and caught it clean, it stayed hit. and more often than not, it was bursting the back of the net. But aside from that, as I said, he was a fantastic man, and to have been given the honour of being there and singing on behalf of Bobby's family at the funeral, for me was something extra special, and a day that obviously will stay with me for a very long time.
It was a stellar congregation, wasn't it? Sort of who's who from Manchester football.
Yeah,
and beyond. And it sounded like a very moving service. And I read some of the things. I think it was his grandson, Sir Alex Ferguson, mentioned him in a brilliant speech that he gave. And it seemed a very powerful speech amongst a lot of great speeches on the day, Russell.
Yeah, well, that was kind of, I think that was what brought to fruition the fact that Bobby wasn't just a fantastic sportsman, but he was also a family man as well, and a wonderful family man from all accounts. His grandson spoke very, very well of him, and it was an incredible. I mean, it was so well spoken. It was so eloquent the way that he put the whole thing over that you couldn't help but feeling a sense of emotion. So even if you were only connected to him through the football and as a football fan, as a Manchester United fan, or just an England fan or a fan of football in general, that touch, that personal touch that his grandson gave, I think really brought it all to life that Bobby Charlton was an all-round legend.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, you are touring, but with a difference. You're quite church heavy, but you're going to be singing in some wonderful buildings, Russell.
Yeah, it's called the Magnificent Buildings Tour because I mean, we're singing in cathedrals and abbeys and churches up and down the length and breadth of the United Kingdom. And I mean, so far so good. It's the next 3-4 concerts are all sold out. So if you want to get tickets, you'll have to hurry up. But it's going really well.
Imagine the acoustics in these in the buildings like this must be amazing.
And that was the thing about Manchester Monastery, you know, the other day. It gives you those types of venues give you so much back, and for a very noisy human being like me, it's the type of place where I can, you know, really belt it out. And I think with, as you say, you know, the great and the good were there on the other day, and I think I gave a good account of myself. They seemed happy. And more importantly, Bobby's wife, Lady Norma, seemed very, very pleased with the outcome.
Oh, that's good to hear. Nice. Yeah, so I would imagine there was a fair bit of Manchester United chat afterwards as well, with the assembled players from different eras and different people who support the club. So, yeah, they're still hanging in, as Andy often says every week. They find a way, Manchester United. They'll pick up results even if they're not putting in the performances.
Yeah, well, don't get me onto Manchester United, please.
Frustrating times.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. I think it's not just frustrating as a fan. I think, you know, the players, the management team must be frustrated as well, because there's so much going on back room. You know, the sale of the club hasn't happened yet. I know there was a certain side of the fan base that was pushing for a certain ownership, and that's not happened. And they wanted full sale of the club, and that's not happened. And then we've got this massive problem with injuries that just seems to be ongoing. Ericsson this week and Haaland. Yeah. And it seems to be a never-ending fiasco of bad luck and problems at United at the moment. Not least of all, you know, there's problems with the ground and leaks in the roof, and there's talk of the training facilities not being up to standard. And it just seems like it's not a surprise that all that information transcends into the dressing room and onto the pitch as well. Those players must be under a lot of pressure with everything that's going on at the moment. Yeah. So I do think in many respects that this, as Ten Hag says, is a process, but I think we're all getting a bit impatient about the process because it just seems to be taking forever.
Well, we've heard today that Richard Arnold, you've probably met quite a lot of the hierarchy at the club, the chief exec standing down. He's with Jim Ratcliffe coming in, so there's a sort of interim CEO there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Jim Ratcliffe has a little bit more control on the football side.
Yeah, well, hopefully that 25% share is going to increase and eventually, you know, he's going to take over from the Glazers. I don't think the Glazers have done themselves any favours. I mean, you know, they were absent this week as well, which didn't wash well with me as a football fan, and didn't wash well with the fan base either. If I'm being honest, the sooner they're gone, the better.
Yeah, I think a lot of Manchester United fans would feel that. Russell, good to talk to you. We wish you well with the tour and appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
It's always a pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks, Russell.
There's Russell Watson there, singer, Manchester United fan. Go and check out all the dates at russellwatson.com if you want to go and see him on tour.
The Daily Star had a story this morning. This is a classic tabloidy type story. Incoming Manchester United owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe will order Eric Ten Hag to end his feud with Jadon Sancho. You think, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Will he?
Well, I think they'd quite like him too.
Yeah, they might like him.
We were talking yesterday, Juve's an option for him. They're sort of talking about Saudi as well. So.
Look, it's never great management if you lose somebody like that in that way and they're training the kids and they can't go in the canteen. That's not good.
But by the same token, when
you should be able to sort this out.
You come in as a manager and there's been a discipline problem. And there's a feeling that players have been getting away with too much.
Still,
you have to have a line in the sand. You can't come back from that.
I still think you need to be able to sort it out myself.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy's back tomorrow for the birthday spread. And, you are.
I am.
He is. And Will Mellor's going to join us. Bit of Man United. Rick Winter from Shed 7.
I did have this idea of saving all the jokes that I don't put in, because I normally write at least twice.
Yeah.
And put them in the podcast extra, the Apple thing that we do.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. There's a little bonus for you. So go and check it out wherever you get your podcast.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.